again and welcome to another episode of Real Talk with RJ. If this is your first time listening, please don't forget to like and subscribe and follow so you know exactly when we release brand new episodes. And also, don't forget to follow if you like don't forget to share if you like what you hear, share it with everyone you know. So today's episode, we're going to be talking about the secret to finding a happy relationship or a romantic partner. Because there's so many people out there right now that are alone. And, you know, there's lots of people on TikTok and on various social media platforms that are trying to celebrate being by themselves, being alone. Like, I don't need nobody. But when they go home every night, you know, they're alone. They're sad. They're miserable. The house is too quiet. Like, they notice the absence. For me personally, when I was a very promiscuous person, I was out there and I had lots of different girls that I was messing around with at the same time. And, you know, I was a dog in my past. And every time I woke up next to these different women, even a different woman every night, when I woke up next to these women, I was always alone because I was waking up next to a stranger who had no idea who I really was. Because I wouldn't open up enough to let anyone see me. You know, there's no point. I wasn't going to get to know these people. They weren't going to get to know me. We were just having fun. At least that's what we thought. We had a great night. And then in the morning, it was, you know, business as normal. And I was always like this silence of being next to a stranger. Even if you had great, you know, great sex the night before, then the next morning, waking up next to a stranger, it's kind of awkward. Like, do we go get breakfast? Do we go get lunch? Do we part ways? Do I ask for your number? Do you get my number? Like what's next? Where is this going? Is this going to be a periodic thing? Or is this a one-time thing? And, you know, bye. It's just a really awkward position, awkward situation. And then on nights where I didn't feel like going out, I still noticed the absence of anybody who really cared about me in my life. Going to bed by myself. Even in a twin bed, when I was in the Marine Corps, going to bed in my little twin bed, it still felt very empty. And I know lots of people feel that. And, you know, we put on this facade of, well, I don't need nobody. I'm cool, man. I love living the single life. We say that. But deep down inside me personally, I don't believe anybody really enjoys being single like they say they do. That's just my personal opinion. I know that there's many people who have been hurt who are like, I'd rather be single than keep going through this pain. I get that. But maybe the reason why you keep going through pain is because you keep choosing the wrong people for the wrong reasons. If you choose the right person for the right reasons and you have a good relationship, being single is definitely, it's a prison. It's a form of torture. Like when I'm at work or whenever I'm gone or doing something, I feel miserable not being next to my fiance. I love being next to her because she, as I said so many times in my previous broadcast, she's my home. Being next to her makes me feel like I'm at home. Whether we're walking outside, whether we're here, as soon as she walks in the door, it feels like home. Like right now, she's working. It's my day off today, so she's at work, and I'm in her house right now. But it doesn't feel like home because she's not here. It feels like there's something critical missing, you know, and it feels a little colder. Like, not physically, of course, but like it feels a little colder. It feels like something important is missing. But, you know, I wanted to talk about this because one of the biggest reasons why so many people are putting on this facade is because we're not living the truth. We're not acknowledging actual truth. And I know that word has been watered down recently, especially with a lot of liberals out there saying, oh, well, he's living his truth or she's living her truth. I think that's one of the dumbest phrases. You're living your truth. Truth is not race-based. It is not political-based. It's not religious-based. It is truth-based. Truth is truth regardless of your opinion. Gravity is truth. There's gravity. You're going to get pulled down to the earth some way, somehow. There's laws of gravity. There's rules that truth are, you know, part of. Like the law of lift. If you are flying a plane and there's enough speed to actually cause lift to carry the wings up, the plane is going to stay in the air. Even without the engine running, it was, as long as it's carrying enough speed somehow, some way, to keep those wings up, which is what gliders do, the lift will keep that plane airborne or keep that aircraft airborne. There are There's no such thing as my truth and your truth. Truth is truth, regardless of what your opinion is. Like, so if I say that my hat is black, and you say I agree with you, the fact that you said you agree with me does not make the truth that my hat is black more true. It's true regardless of your opinion. Truth is independent. It doesn't need anyone's support, doesn't care about anyone's feelings or anyone's political views, religious views. Truth is truth, independent of any other opinion or support. So the reason why I talk about that is because a lot of people are out there saying, you know, they're pretending this lie to be their truth because it makes it easier to live with the absence of being in a healthy relationship. Yeah, there's lots of guys out there, lots of women out there that they enjoy the promiscuous life. They enjoy going out and having no responsibility to one person and sleeping with whoever they want to. But what they're ignoring is that emptiness that they are chasing to find another woman. They want to find someone else. Like, I need to find someone else so that I can have a good night. They don't know how to have fun just being by themselves. Like, these people are settling for what they accept to be their norm. And the thing is, if you really want happiness, you don't settle for happiness. There's no such thing as settling for happiness. That's the goal. The pursuit of happiness and, you know, and progress. And that's what we're trying to achieve. So when I've seen many times two very good people get in a relationship and then it doesn't work out. And I'm trying to think why. These two people were beautiful. Like, they have great things in common, but why didn't it work out? And I start really analyzing a lot of those things. Like, I've been in many situations where I've done marriage counseling or marriage therapy. I'm not licensed by any means, but I had so much experience doing it for various people in my inner circle, as well as people outside. Like, I've talked to a number of people in different stages of their relationships and helped them out with different problems because I learned the hard way a lot of this stuff. And I started to find things that really did work. And I started learning from other marriage therapists that have been doing this for years and helping people successfully. I started watching them closely. And that's one thing I learn a lot by watching. I learn a lot by doing. And by practical application, by actually living the things that I've been taught, I've improved substantially. And I've been able to actually listen to what's really being said rather than what people are saying. That's an important thing. Because if we listen to what people are saying rather than what's really being said, we're going to get offended when the person meant no offense. They just didn't know how to word it better. So you're thinking, oh, well, like, it's like what I mean by that is by listening to what someone is saying rather than what's being said. That's a metaphor in a way. It's like saying if your significant other says something to you and then you take it out of context because you heard one trigger word. Like, oh, so you're saying that I don't work hard enough. Like, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I think you can do a lot more and succeed because you're a much harder worker than they're giving you credit for. But you didn't hear that because you were too busy listening to the words they're using rather than listening to the intention behind the words or the message they're trying to relay. So many of us, we look for those trigger words, and rather than actually pay attention to what the person's really saying, and actually, especially when it's someone we know their heart, someone you know would not deliberately try to offend you or deliberately try to disrespect you. This is a person we are familiar with. We know, we love. We know that they love us. We have a really strong relationship, friendship, whatever the case may be. And rather than actually listen to what they're saying, you get upset and because they use a certain phrase you don't like. That's stupid, because you're shutting people off when you get offended so easily because something wasn't worded the way you would have liked it to be worded. You're going to shut people off from saying really important things you need to hear. And as a result, if you keep practicing a lifestyle like that, you're going to end up severing lots of really important ties. You're going to be by yourself. You're going to be alone. You're going to be by yourself and nobody's going to pay attention to you anymore. Nobody's going to want to tell you anything. People are not even going to want to warn you about stuff. Like in the military. Yes, when we're in the military, we're walking around, we're doing patrols and stuff like that. Yes, we respect the rank structure. But I'm telling you this right now, we're all human. And if you are the platoon leader and you're a jerk, you're a douche, we can't stand you, you throw your rank and your weight around like you don't care, like you're better than everybody else, and people are miserable because of you. I'm telling you, if we're walking and we see a landmine, and that person is about to step on it, the thing, one of two things will happen. Either people are going to step back and let him step on it, or they're going to hesitate about warning him. They know they need to warn him and tell him to stop, but it's likely that they're going to hesitate, and that hesitation can kill him. And the reason why they would hesitate is because they don't like that guy, and they don't care if he lives or dies. They'd rather have a safer, more relaxed life and not have to worry about this douchebag who they only respect because of what's on his collar or her collar. Like, you don't want that kind of situation, but we're human. That's the thing. That's what happens when you are demanding people respect you when you haven't earned that respect. That's an important factor because it ends up hurting you in the end. And you make the lives of those around you miserable when you have the power and an opportunity to improve the quality of life of those around you. So why do I bring that up? In a relationship, you have the power to improve the lifestyle of your relationship. Both of you do. You know, you can easily be miserable and bring that misery into the relationship, or you can leave that misery at the door and be happy in your relationship, or you can help include the strength and love of the relationship. There's lots of different things you can do. You will contribute something. Whether you contribute happiness or whether you contribute misery, that's your choice. Everyone is a leader. Whether you're a good leader, bad leader, or effective leader, or poor leader is your choice. Now, there's this big feminist movement growing on right now where women are like, I don't have to submit to anyone. I'm not going to submit to anybody. No man's going to tell me what to do, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, you guys are totally misunderstanding what it is to have a role. In a football team, there's only one quarterback on the field at a time. But that quarterback cannot do his job if the line is like the line is not protecting him. And if the quarterback is not being protected by the line, he can't get the ball out to anybody. So the linemen have to do their job in order to protect that quarterback, to give him time to get that ball out. Either he's going to run it, he's going to give it to a runner, or he's going to throw it to somebody else who's going to run it. Everybody has a role, and without them doing their job, the team is an ineffective team. I've seen it on the field firsthand, watching players that have great quarterbacks or teams that have great quarterbacks who have no line. So the quarterback is worthless, because if you put Tom Brady on a team with no line, Tom Brady would never get completions. For any of you who know about football, Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. I'm not a Patriots fan. I'm not by any means, but I acknowledge greatness where greatness is. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. He's got more Super Bowl appearances, more Super Bowl wins. The dude is incredibly talented. The elite of NFL history, and as far as quarterbacks, and I think he's an exceptional athlete. But if you put him on a team that does not have a line to defend him, he would not get the ball off in time, and he'd be worthless. Everyone needs to do their job in order for that one teammate to shine. If Jerry Rice was on, like, in his prime on a team with a crappy quarterback, he couldn't do his job, because they need to get the ball to him for him to do his job. So everybody has a critical role. No two roles are the same. A quarterback's job is different from a lineman's job. A lineman's job is different from a receiver's job. A receiver's job is different from a running back's job. Everyone has their own jobs they have to do that make up the team. Now, I can easily say the traditional man is to provide. The traditional man provides and takes care of the bills and family, etc. And the traditional woman stays at home and provides for the family and nurtures, etc. That is traditional. That, in my opinion, honestly, that's the ideal. I would love to make more than enough money to where my wife wouldn't have to work, so that my kids will spend more time with their mother, actually being taught, nurtured, and included, and educated, rather than these woke schools that are indoctrinating our kids with some stupid nonsense, like telling my kids that just because they're black, that they're at a disadvantage. Like, that's BS. I don't think any kid should be told they're at a disadvantage because of the fact that they're black. We had a black president, even if I think that dude's an idiot. The fact is that we had a black president. So if we're at a disadvantage, how the heck do we have a black president of the United States? If we're at such a disadvantage, how do we have so many black senators and congress people and CEOs? If we're at such a disadvantage, how the heck is most of the professional sports leagues filled with black people? That BS about critical race theory, I think it's stupid. It's indoctrination to keep blacks and whites against each other, and I think it's nonsense. And I don't want teachers teaching that crap to my kids because I think it's stupid and it's foolish. These kids aren't even learning about basic education. They don't know how to do math. They don't know how to read. I was learning speed reading at sixth grade. I was learning how to read quickly through a page. I learned how to skim and actually how to read. I learned how to do division and all that stuff. These kids aren't learning that stuff now. They're learning more about this critical woke crap rather than stuff that actually matters, about actual history of the country that helps prevent future wars when these people are taking office. They don't know where we came from. And I think that's so important because if you have a mother in the home where the situation allows it, the mother is, she's gifted with an ability that men don't have to nurture. Women can nurture like no one else. Motherhood is such an honorable calling. And people are now throwing it down saying, oh, woman is just, you stay at home, you're a piece of furniture. That's not at all what it is. This mother is willingly sacrificing a career that she would love to have so that she can invest in something that's more important than her own life, her kids. Men are made to work. That's why our muscular tone is different. We're made to labor. We're made to work. That's just how we're created. Now, every family is different. Some families necessitate both parents working. That's just, it is what it is. You know, and sometimes the woman makes more money than the man and they don't need to work, so the man is able to stay at home. Either way, one of those parents, it's really important for one of those parents where they're able to stay at home and nurture those kids. A nanny is not supposed to raise your kids. It's supposed to be your job. Your kids need you more than they need a nanny or anybody else. That's what I'm talking about. And additionally, people are saying, oh, well, a woman staying at home, you know, she's, you know, a stay-at-home mom, she's not working. She doesn't know what it's like to work. You know what? All those women out there saying that, you try being a stay-at-home mom, seeing what kind of stuff these magicians do. I'm in awe to see a stay-at-home mom be able to clean the house, make a house into a home, nurture the children, get multiple children in different cities at the exact same time that they need to be there early. Having them, the mother herself might not be done up makeup and hair and all that stuff. She might still be in her pajamas with dragon breath, but those kids will be looking clean. Those kids will be dressed. Those kids will be fed and they'll be ready and on time, if not early, to the places they need to be. The mother herself will never be on time, but the kids will be on time. Those kids, their homework will be done. It will be checked. It will be right. The mother will know what's going on. Those women are miracle workers. They do so much. And honestly, their job doesn't stop at an 8-hour shift. They don't get paid for the overtime. Now, if we're going to go real tradition and we're going to be honest about this, the money that that man makes is also the money that woman makes because they're on the same team. That nonsense about, oh, well, I make the money, I make the choices, this is my money. No, that's nonsense. That's a stupid machismo delusion that is based off of just pride. If I'm the only one working in my household, I'm making money for my family. My wife and I, we together make choices about finances. Just because I'm making the money, she's making the home. That's part of my life. That's part of our job. So that nonsense about my money's my money is your money. No, if you guys both have your own careers, you know, that's one thing. But the fact is that both of you should still have an agreement of a certain amount of that paycheck each time goes to the family account, which goes to paying the rent, paying the mortgage, whatever the case may be. A certain amount of money should be combined. You should not, in my opinion, you shouldn't separate your finances too much. You should have a lot of stuff that you guys have in common. And it's important to do that because you need to know how to work with each other. And if you can't trust each other financially, why are you with each other? A relationship's core, like a core foundational value of a relationship, especially a healthy one, is trust. If you can't trust somebody financially, then they're probably not the right person for you. If somebody has a gambling problem, you might want to help them, but still at the same time, be cautious about, you know, about giving them access to your bank account and finances, stuff like that, because somebody who has a gambling problem is likely to abuse your money as well as theirs. So like I said, everyone has their own circumstances and you have to modify those circumstances for you. But my whole situation is talking about truth. This is all about truth. There's lots of arguments that happen in relationships, and more often than not, it's based off of pride. oh, well, I'm entitled to a hot meal when I come home. How come you don't have a hot meal? What are you talking about, dude? You're not entitled to anything. You have a responsibility to cook for her just like she has a responsibility to cook for you. You're supposed to take care of each other. As a man, if you're the primary breadwinner or the only breadwinner in the house, you got to understand something. As I said this many times in the past, you are the number one servant. Your job doesn't stop when you punch out at work. Your job continues to go when you get at home, just like a mother. If she's a stay-at-home mother, when you get home, it's important for you to contribute. Realize that she hasn't stopped working. She hasn't, you know, gotten her 15-minute breaks like you do at work, where you can kind of sit down and relax and not worry about anything else. Sometimes a mother doesn't even get that. Sometimes a mother is working nonstop from the time you, like, before you get up. There's lots of mothers out there that will be up before the man gets up to make sure his lunch is packed, make sure that his breakfast is ready. Like, she does these things to show that she loves and supports her man. Very few men out there, if very, very few men will ever think to do that, because we're so focused on what we have to do. Men are often focused on our part in the equation. That's just kind of how we're programmed. We're programmed to think about our relationship to the situation. What do I have to do in this job so that we can do our best in that job? But often we will think about, you know what, I think I need to do this, or I need to do that. But women will think we need to do this. Women often think, especially the nurturing part of women, they think we rather than I. And men often think I. It's just a really interesting thought process that I've noticed between the two sexes. And I've noticed that women will often consider how they can help, what they can do to help the situation, and what they can do to help the family. And often, it's also a really important part about for women who are stay-at-home moms. They're the reason why men know what is going on with their kids. Seriously, like, men that are providing for their household and the mother is a stay-at-home mom, when that man comes home, like, the mother is updating him, hey, you know, your son is failing in his class right now. He's not understanding this. This is your area of expertise. I know you know more about history than I do. Can you sit with him and help him out? Or, you know, he's not going to classes like he's supposed to. Can you go talk to him? He doesn't want to attend classes like that. Or the fact that the mom knows what's going on because she spends more time with her kids, and the father's able to be updated so that he can take part in this family. You know, when the father has to work, the mother's able to be there in the sports games. And she lets him know, hey, he got a touchdown, or I recorded it for you. I know you wanted to be there. I recorded for you. Let's watch it together. So she's like, it's like when you're the CEO of a company and you have to go traveling and stuff like that, but there's an important event that your company needs to be represented at. You would send somebody you trust to go represent your company. You're not going to send some hoodlum out there to represent your company because you're going to put a bad light on it. But when you choose the right person for the right reasons, then you have a good representative of your family. And that woman often is like the heart of the home. She is the tone of the family. Look, just think about it. Every time you've seen a politician, when you see that politician out there campaigning for office, you see his wife and everyone's like, that's a good family. Women are harshly judged in society today. I'll say that because if a politician were to sit there and kind of unbutton his collar, you know, show a little bit of chest hair, people aren't really going to, they're not going to really criticize him. Saturday Night Live might, you know, make some jokes about like Austin Powers' hair coming out or like a cat trying to come out. They might make a couple of jokes about that, but they're not going to talk about his character. But let let the wife of that politician happen to have her blouse down just a little too much to show some cleavage. You're going to have a lot of people out there. Oh, she's a floozy. Oh, she's probably easy. She's probably sleeping around, or she's fast. They'll say all kinds of things about her character. There is a double standard if we're honest with ourselves. Women are very harshly and unfairly criticized when it comes down to a lot of stuff. A woman who chooses to stay at home, she's not being forced. I don't think any woman should be forced to stay at home. That's just me personally. I don't think any woman should be forced to stay at home. And if a woman does choose to stay at home, that is a choice that both people, both parents, should agree to do. That is a choice that needs to be discussed between the mother and the father, or the husband and the wife, whatever. And they need to talk about it and say, hey, like, I've talked with my fiance on multiple occasions, and I told her, you know, like, I would love to be able to make money for our children and you to not have to work, or, you know, for you to not have to work, for you to be able to stay home with your family. I'm not going to ask you to stay at home. That's not my position. That's not my right. That's not my privilege. That's not my place. I would like for this. This is what I would like, because it would be ideal to have the mother of my children teaching our kids and actually being there with our kids and nurturing them and giving them the attention and help that they need, because I can't be there. You know, that's what I would like to happen. But if that doesn't happen because, you know, you feel that you want to work, you know, that's understandable. And additionally, you would be the one really sacrificing here. So I'm just telling you how I feel about it. And it's up to you. Whatever choice you make, I love you. I'm not going to change that. I'm not going to be mad at it. This is your choice. It's her sacrifice, so she has a say-so in it. It's not my place to demand that she stay at home. That's not okay. No man should demand that his wife does something she doesn't want to do. Now, that's one reason why a lot of relationships fail, is because people are not acknowledging the importance of their roles, and they are fighting each other to be, you know, in roles that that should not be theirs. You know, everyone has roles. No role is more important. Again, like the analogy of the football team, the quarterback is not more important than the receivers. If you have an incredible quarterback with an incredible line, but you have no receivers that can catch the ball, then the quarterback is worthless as well. Everyone needs to be in their role, doing their job the right way. So for each family, the people have to kind of sit down and say, hey, this is the role that you're going to be best for, and this is the role I'm going to be best for, and fall into your roles and know that your role is just as important as theirs. You know, like, people are often talking about, oh, we want equality between the man and the woman in a relationship. If we're going to be honest with it, there's only certain parts of equality. As far as authority, as far as authority levels, yes, both husband and wife are equal to each other. All decisions should definitely be, you know, equal, discussed, and together made. You know, any decision that affects a family should be made together. That's how a family's supposed to work. But as far as who is the leader, like the head leader of the family, it's not the wife. That might piss off people. Like, whoa, all of a sudden the woman's not. No, I'm not saying she's less. I'm not saying she's less important. But there can only be one alpha. Because when something goes crash in the middle of the night and there's a sound, 9 times out of 10, the woman is not going, honey, you stay here. I'm going to go figure out what just happened, who's breaking into her house, and go search the house and try to find out who's broken in there and fight him off. 9 times out of 10, that's not going to happen. 9 times out of 10, she's going to wake her husband up and say, I just heard a window break. I just heard something. Go and figure out what it is. There's the alpha right there. The man has to get up and go protect. The one who protects is the alpha. But that does not mean that the woman is the beta. That just means she's not the alpha. Traditionally, that means, yeah, alpha, beta. But beta usually will be like, you're the second in command. But when it comes down to authority, both you guys are equal. But when it comes down to overall leadership and protection of the family, the man is in charge. The man is a protector. We're built to protect. We tend to be bigger. I mean, I don't know about this generation now. Like, I'm seeing super scrawny guys just walking around. I'm like, dude, if you stood in front of a gun to protect your wife from being shot, she'd still get shot because you're that skinny. You're body shaming. Shut up. If you think I'm body shaming, turn off the channel and go somewhere else. I don't care. I'm not going to walk on eggshells to please anybody. I'm just saying that men protect. That's what we do. And you were like, well, women can protect too. How many special forces females do you know? How many special forces females have you seen besides G.I. Jane? It's rare. It's an incredibly rare occurrence, if it happens at all. The majority of infantry are men. Let's just be honest with ourselves. Let's talk about that for a second. The honesty is that men protect. Men have the role to take the bullet for the family. Men have the role to go attack somebody who broke into their house when they're half asleep. They're the ones that go. They don't go send their kids out there to go find out who's doing what. The women don't go out there to figure out who's doing what. The men go out to go protect. If you're out in public and somebody is disrespecting your family, the man is expected to stand up and defend. And let that man sit down and just be quiet because he's scared. That woman is going to just like tear into him when those guys are gone. How dare you just sit there and let that man disrespect me in front of your kids, in front of everyone? I can't stand you. You're worthless. Like, she's going to tear him down because he didn't do his job. Even though there is a double standard that if the man were to yell at the woman, everyone would be like, hey, calm down. Don't talk to her that way. But if she yells at him and tears into him, everyone's going to be like, ooh, man, he just got his head torn in. You should have did his job. Again, this is only talking about that part. Roles are important. Again, no role is more important than the other, but to understand your role is important to make the team work. So the next part is pride. In a relationship, there's no room for pride. If you're going to argue, you're going to give someone the silent treatment because you feel you're entitled to an apology, you're wasting time. Swallow the pride. If you make a mistake or make a poor choice, apologize for it. Repent of it. Ask forgiveness for that person. If they don't want to forgive you, that's their fault. You did your part. Your conscience is clear. You keep trying to do what you're supposed to be doing. If your partner is throwing your past in your face, like if you make a poor choice in the past and they throw that in your face, you give them one warning that you're not going to tolerate that. Let them know that. Like I've done that. I apologize. Like I've been in arguments where I've said, look, I apologized already for this incident. I'm not going to do it again. And I will not tolerate anybody throwing my past in my face while demanding that I don't do the same to them. This will not happen again. Am I clear? And it's not about being a bully. It's about putting your foot down on what you will and will not tolerate. You have the right to be happy. You have the right to be respected in your relationship. If your partner is going to throw your past in your face, there's no way you can look to the future because that person keeps reminding you of your past, the worst parts of your past. Because I guarantee you, people like that are not sitting there and going, oh my gosh, I remember when you went out to go feed the hungry. You made a bunch of food and you went outside and you went to the homeless areas and started feeding a bunch of people. You were so good. I remember when you went out to share the gospel with people, or I remember when you sat by your mother's side while she had breast cancer and you fed her and took care of her. They're not doing that. They're only highlighting the bad of you. And if that's the kind of person you're dating, end the relationship. It's okay to walk away when you realize there's no future with this person. But you have to make sure that there's no future with this person after all you have been able to do. So I don't cuss at my fiance, no matter how. First of all, I don't cuss, period. This is just me personally. I'm not saying anybody else is wrong for what they do or how they live their life. This is just me personally. I've not said a curse word since 2008. And that's all because of God. I'm really grateful for that. He committed the miracle in me. I asked him to help me stop, and it was a process, and he helped me stop. And I've noticed that ever since I have stopped, I've noticed that it takes a lot more to get me mad. I'm a lot more calm because I don't have these triggering words that incite anger or rage or elevate my level of anger to higher than it could be. I walk away from lots of fights. I only fight when I absolutely have to. I don't like to hurt people. And I'm being a martial artist, I'm not really afraid of what people can do to me more so than I'm afraid of what I can do to them. That's just what you learn in martial arts, is that you don't want to fight because you don't want to hurt somebody to the level you're capable of doing that. Then you have to live with that. You have to live with the fact that you paralyze somebody. Like it's not easy to live with that. Every time you see someone who's paralyzed in a similar fashion, you're always going to think about that guy. It's not something you want to experience. So I walk away from lots of fights because I don't have anything to prove. If people don't like my channel, I'm like, okay, why are you watching it? It's that simple. If you don't like the channel, change it. If you don't like what I'm saying, stop listening. It's that simple. You have that power. Nobody's put a gun to your head and say, hey, you better like and subscribe. Nobody's sitting there putting a gun to your head and saying, you better listen to the entirety of this station. Nobody's doing that. If you want to listen, I'm grateful. I'd love to have you. I'd love to have all your friends and everyone else that you know that is interested in listening to the truth. I would love to have you guys on. But I'm not forcing you, and I don't want anyone to be here that doesn't want to. And that's how a household should be run as well. Everyone should look forward to going home. If a man is the sole breadwinner and a woman is a stay-at-home wife, if that's the arrangement of your family, a man does not want to dread coming home. But a lot of guys fall into that category because because as soon as they walk in the house, they get nagged. Yes, I use that word. There are lots of guys who get nagged. No one wants to be nagged, whether you're male or female, but they're like, nagging is as soon as you walk in, they're like, hey, did you do this? Did you do this? You need to go do this. You need to go do this. This is happening. Blah, 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 blah. It's like, nobody, I don't care, male or female, nobody wants to have like a ton of overwhelming words just thrown at them as soon as you walk in the door. Every time I walk in the door, my fiance, if she's here already, she'll greet me with a big hug and a kiss. How's your day, baby? I hold her, hug her. My day was good. I did this and this, this happened. And I give her a hug and kiss, and we hold each other for a little bit. And then I ask her how her day was. We have a very slow conversation, or it organically just moves if it becomes a big conversation, but at least it's organic. And as we sit down later on, as I've gotten some time to kind of decompress, relax, and be home, that's when she'll start like updating me on certain things and talking to me about certain things that I need to be aware of or whatnot. And we go from there. It's good. But she lets me be home, at least lets me decompress a little bit and kind of relax before other things start coming into play. Hey, we need to be aware of this, or don't forget this needs to be paid, or whatever the case may be. Or, hey, guess what? This happened today. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So just cut off the nagging. Like, whether you're male or female, stop nagging your partner. Set reminders to for bills that are paid. And I have a practice as well, because I've forgotten a couple of events that my fiance had had scheduled because I didn't put it in my phone. I didn't put a reminder on. I was just so busy, didn't think about it. And also, like in the situation, it was something she wanted to do. Like one of her friends or her family was having a party or something like that. And it just was like, it was just a normal get together. It wasn't anything really special, just a normal get together. So it wasn't as important to me as it was to her. But, you know, I'm not to say it's not important. I'm just saying it was more important to her than it was to me, because it was a get together of some people that she knew, rather than, you know, my best friends or whatever the case may be. You know, that might have been the situation. But the fact is that I made the mistake of not putting it in my phone and making a reminder. So every time now she tells me, and it hurt her. It hurt her that I had forgotten the date. And she's like, we had plans, you know, tomorrow, and you schedule something there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, baby. And I only say sorry when I really mess up. Otherwise I say, I apologize. Cause just as a sidebar, man, if you say sorry all the time, the word loses its value. Same thing. If you say, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, women subconsciously will start seeing you as a sorry person. And then when you do say sorry, she's like, man, that's all you ever say. You're always sorry. It just will lose its power. It will lose its sincerity. Even if you're like, baby, I'm really sorry for that, the word loses its impact. You don't want that. So when you mess up, apologize. Like, you know what, baby, I apologize. I shouldn't have done that. I acknowledge what I did was wrong. Also, take accountability. That's later. Take accountability. But acknowledge. Say, I apologize when you mess up. But when you really, really mess up, you need to humble yourself and say, honey, I'm sorry. She'll hear that because she knows you don't use that. And she realizes that you understand just how much you messed up, and that you're acknowledging that incident and you're trying to make amends for it. So at that point, when I realized that I had hurt my fiance by not remembering something that was important to her, I told her from that day on, every time you tell me something that we're going to be doing, or you have something scheduled, I will immediately put it in my phone. I have done that ever since. So I don't forget anything anymore, because I immediately put it in my phone that there's an incident, or not an incident, there's an event going to be happening, where it's going to happen, when it's going to happen. I have reminders ahead of time and the day of, so that I remember. And anytime that someone asks me, hey, you want to go do something, I'll look at my schedule and immediately know if I have something scheduled for that day, so I don't make that same mistake ever again. And I have not. It all came with, you know, communication. There was no pride there. I didn't have pride. I could easily say, well, I didn't want to go, it's not important to me. No. Being with my fiance is what's important to me. Being with my home, that's what's most important. Being supportive. Because I'm sure, you know, she's gone places that she didn't really want to go, but she did it to support me. I know she's done that. You know, she's like, you know, I don't really care too much about this event, but my baby does, and I want to be with him. That's what she's done. So why shouldn't I show her the same favor? If you hate ballet, but your girl loves it, Buy some tickets to the ballet. Go. Because it's not about where you are. It's who you're with. That's what matters. Because I'm sure she knows just how much you don't like the event. But the fact that you're there showing support of her, because likely she's not going to want to go to these places to enjoy without you. Because she doesn't feel like, there are people out there that kind of feel bad enjoying themselves in places that you're not at. Because they enjoy themselves most when you're there with them, because you're their best friend. In the ideal relationship, you know, you're best friends with your partner. And when you do make mistakes, it's just important to take accountability. And let's get into that. Taking accountability is important. It's even if somebody disagrees, or excuse me, if you disagree with your partner, it's important to validate them. So it's important for, like, if let's say your woman opens up and she says, you know, well, when you didn't wash the dishes, I cooked, I worked really hard in the meal that I made, and I was in there for hours prepping everything and cooking everything for you to have a good meal. And then you didn't work the next day, and you stayed home all day and nothing got done. Like, I feel like you don't appreciate me. I feel like you don't care. You take me for granted. You can totally disagree with that. Your feelings and yourself could be like, dude, I work a labor job in the sun every day. You stay in an air-conditioned house. I'm hot. I'm tired. I wanted to actually rest my body today. That's how you feel. Now, I'm not saying who's right and who's wrong in that circumstance, but let's say that's the situation. You should not make her feel stupid for how she feels. You never, ever, male or female, never make your partner stupid, or excuse me, feel stupid for being vulnerable with you. That is a big no-no. If you do that, that could destroy your relationship almost immediately. It takes a lot of trust to choose to be vulnerable to your partner. Women, do not emasculate your men when he chooses to be vulnerable with you. It's important that you nurture him and let him know he's safe. Yes, we seem to be these tough guys. He's, you know, very masculine, very tough, because we have to. The world is not, they don't care about our feelings. The world doesn't care about how many suicidal men there are. They care about how many suicidal women there are, and they care about how many suicidal transgenders there are, but they don't care about the suicidal men. They don't care about us like that. In the military, we're told to suck it up. In society, we're told to suck it up. Deal with it. Oh, stop being so wussy. Like, stop being such a wimp. Go out there and get a job. Go do this. We get, like, our emotions are not validated by society. We don't get the same emotional mercy that women get in court. I literally watched videos. Videos on news, news stations, and also some TikToks showing women who are like 30 something years old who happen to be physically intimate with a child who's like 13 years old. The woman got pregnant, did no jail time. She just has to register as a sex offender. I watched multiple female teachers, multiple females be involved with minors, young minors. Some of them got pregnant, did little to no jail time. Let a male do that. The exact same thing will get at least double to triple the time a woman could ever dream of getting. There's a big double standard out there, and men are suffering a lot. So understand that as your man is vulnerable with you, because your man needs someplace they can unload their crap. Everyone's dealing with emotional stress, every one of us. And it's so important for a man to feel safe to open up and talk to his woman. Now, there's men out there who won't cry because they're so programmed. Men don't cry. It happens. But if your man cries, it's important for you to hold him. Hold him close and let him know it's okay to cry. And when I was growing up, I was always taught men don't cry. Toughen up. As I became a man and I've lived in society, as I've gone to war, as I've experienced lots and lots and lots of struggles in my life, I've learned that men cry at the right time. We cry when it's safe to cry. We cry after the job is done. We don't cry while we're doing the job. We suck it up and do what we got to do until we are by ourselves where we are safe enough to cry, but we deal with it. When you cry and you're vulnerable to the right people, that's when it's okay to cry. There's nothing wrong with a male crying at the right time. But in society, strength is often measured by the men. Strength is often measured by the tone of men. You look at other countries where their military is super strong, people take them seriously because their men are super strong. Now, let's say all the men in our country look like the typical skinny little scrawny boy that, or the man that looks like he can't even lift up his car keys. He can't even curl his car keys because he's so scrawny. If that was how all of our men look, we would have been invaded a long time ago. But if all of our men look like MMA fighters, who do you think is going to invade us? Just because we're not in the 1940s during the Third Reich, you know, under Adolf Hitler and World War II and all the invasions and blitzkriegs and all that, just because we're not living in that era doesn't mean it's a real threat. There are countries that would love to invade us right now, but they can't because we're the most armed country out there. So many of our citizens are carrying. And there's so many citizens who have weapons that people don't know about because they know what's actually out there. And a lot of those people are veterans. And the vast majority of them are special forces veterans. So people that know what's out there tend to arm themselves a lot more because they realize the rest of the world has no idea what's really threatening their daily lives. So just understand that as well. So when a man decides that he wants to cry, it's important for the woman to let him. Don't call him a wimp. Don't emasculate him because you wouldn't want someone to devalue you because you cry about everything. If that's what you do. If they're being vulnerable, validate them. Even if you disagree, like in the scenario I gave you earlier, about the woman working hard and, you know, dishes being in the sink and the man stayed home all day and did nothing. Even if you disagree and you're that man, validate her in saying, honey, you know what? I acknowledge that you work really hard. I acknowledge how you feel. You feel, if I'm understanding this right, you feel that I didn't appreciate you because I didn't wash the dishes that you worked so hard to, the dishes resulting from your cooking and everything like that. I get that. I could have done that. You're absolutely right, babe. I could have done that. It was not my, then you go and say, it was not my intention to offend you. That's where you give your, it's not so much a justification or a defense. It's more explaining your intention behind the incident and what happened. I should have done that. I could have done that or whatnot. And then saying, well, honey, I was exhausted because of the job that I work. I work so much in the sun. It takes a lot out of me. I never get the opportunity to rest. I just wanted to rest. But you're right, I should have done this. And now she's understanding, oh, you know what, he's right. He was a little more tired, but he does acknowledge that he could have done this. And then your next step is, if you haven't done the dishes, get up and go do those dishes. Real men, we wash dishes. Real men, we vacuum floors. Real men, we sweep. Real men, we mop. Real men, we clean toilets. We do all the stuff that is required to keep our house into a home. That is not a woman-based job. That is a us-based job. Every one of us should be doing that. Because when people come over your house and look at how clean it is, they're not automatically going to think of your wife. They're looking at both of you. They're going to acknowledge both of you guys. Unless they know you're a slob and then you come home and the house is clean. They're like, yeah, it was his wife that kept it clean. But the way your house is cleaned is a representation of both of you. When people get in your car for a ride or carpool and they see that it's like super dirty and nasty and stuff like that, they're immediately going to think of you because it's your car. But if it's like the family van or something that you guys are all taking out and it's, you know, it makes sense because you got kids. You're like, yeah, you got kids. No worries. But if they know you don't have kids and your car is just filthy and it's the family car that both you guys use, and yeah, they're going to look at both of you guys. Just keep that in mind as well. The next thing is about trust. If you can't trust a person, there's no reason to be with them. Simple as that. If you can't trust your partner, why are you with them? If you have to look through their phone all the time to prove a point and prove they're not cheating on you, either you have an insecurity or they're not the right person for you. And if they're not the right person for you, don't invest time with the wrong person. Invest it with the right person, with someone who has potential. Next, when you're looking for a partner or you're looking for somebody, don't start out looking for a partner. Just let the situations arise organically. Build friendships. Build good relationships with people. And then when you start to get to know people, then you start seeing, are these traits that I could marry? Because ultimately that's the goal, right? To marry the right person. You're not dating somebody just for the sex. I assume if you're looking for a healthy relationship. So if you're looking for a healthy relationship, you should really, it's like a job interview. You should definitely pay attention to the qualities and characteristics of this individual. Ask them what they believe. Have meaningful conversations. Have conversations about kids. Are kids in the picture for them, in their future? You know, what if they can't have kids? Is that a deal breaker? That's an important question, because you don't know if you can't have kids until you've tried. And tried long. They have to be willing to accept that, you know, yeah, I really want children, but if I can't have children with you, I'm still going to be there. We can adopt. You know, like, these are conversations you really should have. That way you're not blindsided with something if you find out you can't have kids, or you find out they can't have kids. And you're like, crap, what now? You know, we didn't plan for this. So plan for it. Because you don't want to end up getting divorced after being married to this person for 5 years, only to find out you were getting divorced because you can't have kids. You don't want that. You don't want to find that out the wrong way and lose what you thought was a happy life. Ask them about religion. You know, like, it's important to have that conversation early on. How do you feel about us raising kids in the beliefs that I have? Have these conversations, because these conversations are some of the most common reasons people get divorced, because they don't plan for this. They don't have those conversations. And then when they end up getting married and they find this stuff out later on, they experience it, like, crap, I want to raise my children Methodist. No, I want to raise my kids Catholic. No, you can't do that. Well, you know what? Let's let the kids decide. That's more often than not the result. Let's let the kids decide. Well, one parent is going to start teaching them Methodist and why Catholicism is wrong. And then the other parent, the Catholic parent, is going to teach the children, the Methodist children, or these other kids are going to teach them why Catholicism is right and why Methodism is wrong. They're going to be talking against each other and telling their kids, and their kids are going to be confused, thinking, you know, I like mommy more, so I'm going to go with mommy's church, or I like daddy more, so I'm going to go with daddy's church. Or both the kids are going to want to go with mommy, or both the kids are going to want to go with daddy, or both will say, I don't want to go to either church. They're going to hate churches because they don't like seeing the mom and dad fight. So one of those paths will be taken. But if both go to one church and then against the other, then the arguments will start happening with the parents. Parents, you know, one parent will say, no, I want the children to go to Catholic Mass with me. I don't care. They're going to go to Catholic Mass with me and take the First Communion. And the other parents are like, I don't want them to. So then you're going to have arguments which lead to divorce and leads to that happening anyway because of custody. You're going to take the kids and then they're going to go to church with you. And then you have no say so over what happens with your own kids. So have these conversations early. If your husband or your wife is an atheist or has a certain belief, understand they had these beliefs before you met. Okay? Don't go into a relationship thinking, oh, I can change them. No, you can't. That's something they got to do. And a lot of people find out the hard way that when you go into a relationship thinking you can change somebody to be your version of them, when it fails, then you're miserable and you end up causing a divorce. So save yourself the money, the drama, the pain. Save it. If somebody is living a lifestyle that doesn't align with the lifestyle you want to live, it's okay. Just because two people like or love each other doesn't mean they're right for each other. I've met lots of people who I love dearly, like my friends, love dearly, but I know I couldn't live with them. We just are very different people. We can hang out, we can kick it, have a good time, but we could not live together. We would be miserable and our friendship would probably get destroyed just because of all the arguments and the differences. So just because two people love each other doesn't mean they're meant for each other. So understand who your partner is before you enter into a sincere relationship with that person. Don't assume you know who they are and then try to change them into something that they're not. Next, do not try to change somebody into your version of them. Let them be who they are. Remember that you are your own individual person, as are they. Your identity is not the relationship. You have your own individual identity, and they have their own individual identity, and together you make up the relationship. The relationship is not your identity. Do not lose yourself in the family. Don't lose yourself in the identity, because you are a critical puzzle piece that makes up that puzzle, okay? So don't lose yourself in that family. Don't lose yourself in that identity. Don't lose yourself in that picture. You are a critical part of it. Next, if you're mad, do not speak words of anger to your partner. Words of anger are more often than not absent of love. More often than not, you don't have love when you're angry speaking to somebody else. So try to keep words of anger out of your discussions. That's a really important thing, because you're going to end up saying something you can't take back, and you're going to most likely cause damage that you can't heal. Welcome, Bobby. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Ross? How's everything today?
Everything's going very well. And yourself?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Just working on some business stuff at home, and figured I'd jump on Wisdom, see what kind of conversations are going on. And you have one of my favorite kinds, because I'm in a 20-something year relationship with my high school sweetheart, and I love sharing how we made it work.
Nice. Well, the floor is yours. Feel free.
Cool, man. Yeah, I love the things you're saying. I love the topics you're bringing up.
Thank you.
I want to share with the audience out there that a lot of times people treat themselves like they're, what's the best way to compare this? Like a fence post. They act like they're going to be the same person throughout their whole life from now till forevermore. And they look for a partner that's exactly perfectly aligned with all the things they currently believe, instead of giving themselves room to be more like a tree that's going to grow. And if two trees grow together, or even if you see a tree growing next to a fence post or a chain link fence, you ever notice the tree sometimes grows through the fence and literally becomes part of it?
Yeah.
Because as the tree is growing and expanding, it's working into and around and mixing in with all of the other elements around it, because that's what's necessary when you grow. Nobody just stands alone in the world as a fence post, and that's exactly how they are from age 25 to 35 to 55 to 85. You're the exact same person. And knowing that in advance gives you a little bit of leeway to understand that you may change too. So what you think is very important to you on day one, going into a relationship, let's say you really do love somebody, or you connect with their energy, their spirit, their goals, their dreams, but there are some things you feel like are make or break. Like you said, religion. Maybe you have religious beliefs, they have religious beliefs, and you're like, hey, how would we raise our kids? We just can't see eye to eye, game over. Well, first of all, evaluate why you have the belief that you have, because there's a chance you're just carrying forward the belief system that was in your family, and you never really thought about if you actually believe it or not.
Yeah.
So imagine rejecting a potential life partner who's an incredible person across the board, and both of you are acting like, because your family for generations has been this one thing, you must carry that forward, and anything other than that is a deal breaker. What a tragedy that would be, because somebody at some point has to think independently for themselves and go, hold on a second, do I actually believe this, or is it just so ingrained in me from growing up or being indoctrinated or just being educated only one way that I think this is the only way to be? You know, do you agree 100% with your religion, or do you agree 90%, 95%? Maybe you believe half of it. Well, I hate to tell you, if you believe even 95% of a religion, you're not that religion, because that 5% difference means you don't fit that label. You have to believe all the tenets of a religion. Otherwise, you're just making excuses for why you sort of kind of believe it. But so knowing that, and if you're able to find cracks in your belief system, that's a good enough reason to say, you know what, hold on a second. Why should the religion dictate the person that I'm going to build a life with? When we see eye to eye on most things, and the truth is that religion wasn't made by us, right? It was made by somebody else, and we just adopted it. And so should it really dictate our life together? Like, my wife grew up Roman Catholic. I grew up Roman Catholic. But I'm very much a totally open, free mind when it comes to exploring what God is. So I rejected Catholicism and any kind of dogmatic religion early on in my life, probably in my later teens. And from that point, I've just been on a journey of discovery. Well, my wife's family, being Italian, straight from Sicily, super Roman Catholic, they were like, what do you mean you're with someone who's not Roman Catholic? What do you mean this? What do you mean that? But my wife hardly believes it. She never talks about Jesus. She never prays. She doesn't have a Bible. She never read the first page of a Bible. So for so long, she said, you know, I don't know what we're going to do. Where are we going to get married? You know, we don't get married in a church. My family's going to be disappointed. It always came back to her family. So we had a discussion one day, and I said, listen, me and you have been in together for, you know, well over 10 years at that point that we had the talk. And I said, is that really going to be the thing, you know, that affects whether or not we get married? She's like, no, of course not. I was like, so why are we talking about it? We obviously are aligned on major principles and values in life. Why don't we just move forward? We'll figure it out together just like we do everything else. And by taking the weight off of that, we really did. We just figured it out. We raised my daughter to be an open, free mind, and we're good.
Wow. Those are good points. I really appreciate that, Bobby. Thank you so much. You bring up a really good point about, as well as a lot of us, as a sidebar, a lot of us do adopt various religious beliefs based off of our culture, or because I know with the Latino community, there are lots of Catholics. And one of the biggest reasons historically is because the Spanish influence of the conquistadores that came over and were forcing the indigenous in South America to believe as they believed, or else they would kill them, etc. So there's lots of historical influence of accepting that way of life, you know, as a result of the historical impact that it's had on them. And you have lots of people that were raised a certain way, therefore they accept that way as their lifestyle, and they never question it themselves. I think I had one podcast episode a while back that talked about the dumbest reasons to join a church are, one, because of the people. You love the people, you love the girls, or something like that. You love the type of romantic partners that are there. That was one of the dumbest reasons. Two, because you were raised that way. And three is because you agree with what's being taught. In my opinion, those are the three dumbest reasons to join a church, because it doesn't matter. And none of that matters. The only reason a person should join a church, in my opinion, is because they know that this is a church that Jesus Christ wants them at. If that's the church they're following a Christ-based church, they know that this is a church that is the Lord's true church. That's the only reason, because ultimately, if you're going to a Christian-based church, the goal is to inherit eternity in heaven. That's the goal. So why would you want to be anywhere else that won't get you there? It doesn't matter what you accept or what you like. It matters what the end goal is. If I'm trying to follow Christ, I want to go to the Christ church. If I'm trying to follow Allah, I want to go to the church that Allah wants me to be at. Like, whatever your beliefs are, the only reason to join a church is because you know that this is the true church. Not for you, but period. That's what you know. That's ultimately because the stakes are huge. Going to a church just because, you know, you like the music. Who cares if you like the music? Is that music going to be what leads you to heaven? Like, these things are the important questions. But you bring up a great point, Bobby, because you were talking about, you know, not making it a deal breaker, because you have to assess how important these beliefs are to you and why they're important to you. That's a very good point. In that conversation, I second that. I echo that 100%. It's important for us to recognize that aspect of, hey, if we're going to be talking about things that are important to us, it's important to open up as to why. You know, and this is, again, being vulnerable, having these important conversations early on. People do change, but things that are so core to the person's character, it's important to acknowledge these things and be willing to accept that if I'm going to go forward with this person is this way. And I have to accept that. And there's also little things, like if your partner asks you not to put your feet on the table, even if you bought the table, is it really that big of a deal for you to not put your feet on the table? She doesn't like that? Buy an ottoman. Something made for you to put your feet on. Or buy a recliner. Something made for you to lift your feet up. Like, there's compromises that you can make. You don't have to be like, well, this is my house, I pay the rent. Don't ever do that. Don't ever, ever, for any men out there or any women out there, don't ever throw the contributions you make into the face of somebody else as though you are in charge. Now, if they say you don't contribute, then it's okay to sit there and wait a minute. I do this, 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 and this, and this. How don't I contribute? Well, you don't contribute to any bills. Yeah, but I stay at home and take care of your kids. That's a job. I cook your meals. That's a job. It's like, it's important to understand both people are making equal contributions. And if they're not making equal contributions, there's something you need to reassess about yourself. The whole point is that love is supposed to be the motivating factor of this relationship. You should never be too busy to love your partner. You should never be too prideful to apologize for a wrong you did. And you should never be too stubborn to refuse to forgive the person you claim to love. People make mistakes. Now, it's one thing if somebody deliberately hurt you, like if infidelity, someone like you still need to forgive that person. And it's not about forgiving them for their benefit. It's forgiving them for your benefit so that you can move forward with your life in whatever direction you want to. Now, if you decide that you want to forgive somebody who's cheated on you, good on you. Good for you. You know, I pray that the second time works out. But it's important to not throw that at their throw that in their face. You have made the choice to give this person a second choice or a second chance. It's important that you give them an actual second chance. Don't give them a second chance investigating them to make sure they don't do it again. If they're going to do it, they're going to do it. So if you're willing to give them a second chance, you need to be willing to let go of the first time they hurt you like that. Let it go. I know it's you're not going to forget about it, but don't dwell on it. Don't think about it. Don't focus on it, and don't throw it in their face. If you can deal with that, and if you can deal and accept that consequence, then yeah, move forward. But if you're honest with yourself and saying, you know what, I don't think I can be fair to that person and giving them a second chance, you have to be, you know, open to that person and let them know that. I love you, but I don't think I can trust you ever again after what you did to me. And then it's up to that person, you know, because essentially it's between you two. But that person, in my opinion, if somebody goes, you know, I don't think I can trust you ever again. You know, I don't know. How would I respond to that? I think I would respond because I used to be a cheater, but I know I'm not that way anymore. So I don't, for me personally, what I do to keep myself from ever worrying about that, I communicate with my fiance often. Like, hey, babe, I just clocked out of work. I'm headed to the gym. And when I'm out there, and I also, like, she never asked me to do any of this stuff, by the way. I do these because I keep accountability on myself. One of the strongest, one of the most important things about a relationship, and let me rephrase that. So if I was outside with my fiance, we were walking out, and some big dude tries to walk up, I don't care if this guy looks like he could destroy me. Like, I work out, and I'm a very athletic person. But there's always somebody bigger. If I had a dude that looked like he was Brock Lesnar size, just massive giant of a man, and he walked up and said, give me your money or I'm going to beat your girl, I'd give him all the money. I'm not tripping. But if he put his hand on my girl, I'm going to do everything I can to hit him in pressure points and take that dude. I'm going to chop down that redwood. I'll do whatever I can. Even if I get beat up, I'm going to do whatever I can to protect that girl. I love my fiance, and I would do whatever it takes to protect her. Now, if we feel that way about somebody trying to, you know, to hurt her or hurt our partner, why wouldn't we protect our relationship in a very similar way against unseen forces, if you will? I don't give place for the wrong things to happen. I do all I can to make sure the wrong things are not able to happen. So when I'm going to the gym, hey, babe, I'm headed to the gym right now. I also have my iPhone finder and I set location on so she can see where I'm at. She never looks. I know she doesn't, but she trusts me. But the option is there. She wanted it. And I know that option's there. So if there were ever an opportunity where I would be like, you know, I just want to go hang out with this person. Like, nope, not doing it because she'll know I'm there. So it completely casts out the possibility of it happening. Next, if I'm going out with like friends or something like that, I will do. She's never asked me to do any of this. Again, this is my own choice of me wanting to do this to reinforce trust. So if I'm with anybody out there having a good time or whatnot, I will take a FaceTime picture or FaceTime call with her so she can see I'm where I say I am and she could see I'm with who I say I'm with. I don't give place. I protect my relationship so any thoughts or doubts that come into her mind are reassured. You don't have to worry about it. You know, I will answer my phone anytime she calls me unless I can't, unless I'm working or whatnot. But the fact is that I don't ignore my phone calls like that unless I absolutely can't. And then I will call her right back or text her as soon as I can. So the whole purpose is that I set these standards, I set these protective barriers in place so that bad choices are not possible in that aspect. Another thing, I never ever go into a room alone with a woman. Whether it be a coworker or anything, I will not go into a room by myself with another woman. I don't do it. And at work, in the conference room or something like that, yeah, that's one thing. But like going into a closet, going into a room by ourselves, going into a car by ourselves. I have no business in a car with any woman by myself. I'm in a committed relationship. It doesn't look right. So if it doesn't look right, I shouldn't be doing it. I have no business letting a woman kiss me or dance with me. That's not my girl. I don't care if it's innocent or not. The fact is, it doesn't look right. And if I saw, if I saw my girl trying to talk to somebody else, or if I saw a dude like hugging and kissing on her, I'd be very upset about that. And yeah, even if she's like, there's nothing going on here, I would not be happy with that at all. I'd be upset. I'd be like, what the heck? Like, why are you letting a guy hug and kiss you? It doesn't make any sense. And I wouldn't like it that way. I wouldn't like it that way. I know she wouldn't either. So the whole purpose is to make sure that I'm protecting our relationship against any unseen forces. And the number one way to do that is to not allow yourself to be in a situation where it looks bad. Do all that you can to stop the majority of things that look bad, because sometimes you're going to find yourself in a situation where it just looks bad. It just happens. But for the most part, you want to stop any situation from happening that looks bad. So that's all I'm saying. I think that's a really important thing for us to consider. That's the best way to protect your relationship. If you don't, you're going to find yourself in a world of hurt. You're going to also find yourself in a situation where you just lose the trust of the woman that you love most or the man that you love most, and you're going to end up losing them. So if anybody else has anything they'd like to say, I definitely welcome you to feel free to share. I just really want to talk about this because there's lots of people misunderstanding that they have a role in the relationship, and your role is not the same role that your partner has. You both have different roles, and it's important to accept those roles. It's important to know how to talk with each other. It's important to work together as a team. The man is not more important than the woman. The woman's not more important than the man. Each person is critical. I'm telling you, we look at George Washington and see the greatness he achieved. Yeah, he was a flawed individual. He has his mistakes, just like anyone else. But that man was great in what he did historically for this country, for the movement. But I'm telling you, what we don't see is his wife. George Washington didn't become that strong by himself. His wife helped him become as strong as he was. We just didn't see her because she was in the shadows. Same thing with Abraham Lincoln. He didn't become the great man he was by himself, by being around all those other guys. His wife influenced him a lot. The person you lay in bed with is the one who you hear the loudest. I'm telling you. We don't see a lot of the greatest people in history because they lay in the shadows as the wives or spouses of the people that we revere. I just want you to really consider that. No member of the family is more important than the other. Everyone has a role. If you get mad and you want to yell at your fiance, your wife, your spouse, your significant other, whatever the case may be, stop yourself, think about how you feel, and speak in love. Because a word spoken in love is thoughtful, considerate, and you never have to worry about taking those words back. But if you say something in anger, it can't be taken back. It's done. I really appreciate you, Bobby, for coming on. Thank you so much for the feedback that you gave. It was definitely on point. And I really appreciate every one of you guys that joined me today live. And for all those of you who are going to be watching this video later on, thank you so much. Please don't forget to like and subscribe. Also, don't forget to check out my YouTube channel at RJ Kurtz. You can also look at all the podcasts that I have available right now on Spotify or anywhere else podcasts can be heard. I love doing this. I love doing podcasts. I love talking with people. I love hearing different opinions. I just really want to remind people that we can have discussions. It's okay to have different opinions, but the thing is that we're respecting each other's views and we're learning and we're growing together. That's what I want. That's how you build unity. By celebrating differences, by celebrating things that you have in common, rather than condemning a difference just because it's not what you believe. You know, I have no right to tell somebody else you're wrong for what you believe. I can only say, this is what I believe. And it's up to you to decide that if you want to choose it or not. I know it's worked for me. And as Bobby was expressing, he learned some things that he's been with his high school sweetheart, as he said, for a very long time. and it's working for them. Everyone has challenges and struggles, but the challenges and struggles where you're fighting together, not against each other, is what makes a relationship strong. And if you will stand up and defend your relationship emotionally, just like you would physically if you were put in a threatening or dangerous situation, your relationship will be incredible. Ladies, if for those ladies who are attracted to men, you are not submitting to a man. You are choosing a leader, and you're choosing to trust him, and you're choosing to follow him. Just like, as I've said in the example before, in dancing, traditionally, the man is the one that takes lead. But it doesn't mean the woman is submissive. It means the man is proposing a movement and asking permission of the woman, hey, may we go this way? And the woman will respectfully agree or disagree. If she chooses to disagree, the movement will not be, it will not be in unison. It will be like jolted. They'll be moving against each other, and it will be a battle. You'll clearly see that they're fighting for lead. But when a woman trusts the man's ability to dance and allows the man to take lead, she's not being the weaker. She's trusting the man to take lead. And it takes courage to trust somebody else with your movements. That is bravery at the highest levels. It does not make a woman weak to choose to sacrifice and stay at home because she's trusting the man that she married, or the man, or the partner that she nominated to be the provider. She's trusting that person to provide for the family so that she can do her job. Do not let other people throw away and minimize the value of a stay-at-home mom where that is a possibility. Sometimes women have to work just like men. That's the situation. Every family's different. Every family needs to make their own situations applicable. But don't minimize somebody else for choosing to be a stay-at-home mother. And don't criminalize or villainize or demonize a woman because she wants to be submissive to her man, a man she chose, a man she trusts. There's nothing wrong with that. Exceptional courage being showed there. Just want you all to know that. Again, thank you so much for spending time with me. And thank you. I know that you could be anywhere right now, but thank you for inviting me into your homes, into your houses, into your ears, into your jobs, into your cars, and into your hearts. Until next time, have a great day or a great evening whenever you watch this. And don't forget to check out my other episodes on Real Talk with RJ. And don't forget to like and subscribe. Talk to you later. Real Jock. Real Talk with RJ signing out.